Scripture reading this morning will come from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
The New Testament scriptures have many things to say with regard to the principle that is described for us in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. The New Testament says things like having brought up children, or having children that believe, or obey your parents in the Lord. So you see several specific instructions like that and phrases that are used in the scriptures about young people and about their responsibilities even before God. John writes in 1 John chapter 2, and he says, beginning in verse 12, I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. So young men were trained, they were taught the scriptures, and they courageously held to their convictions in order to overcome the evil one. And John wrote about that when he wrote this letter to Christians. He goes on to say, I have written to you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. So he was writing to people who, among which were young men who were spiritually strong, and they had been instructed in the word of God. It did find its home in their hearts and in their lives. Concerned parents in our day are constantly thinking about and their children and praying for them and working with them to instruct them in the ways of the Lord, that their personality may grow, that their character may grow, that their heart may be a heart that pleases God in all things. There'll be many other lessons taken from God's Word as they grow. But here in our lesson this morning are some fundamental lessons that will help our young people, things that they should learn and should know. And this will be by way of reminder, I think. And the first point that I'd like to make is that the earth is a gorgeous place. It is a beautiful creation of God. It is a beautiful, exciting place for one reason. And that reason is God made it that way. Now you'll run across a lot of people that the Bible says are foolish, and the Bible clearly calls them fools, trying to convince you of some of the wildest part of a man's imagination can ever think of as to how this earth came to be. But the scriptures of God clearly show that it is a creation of God. Don't ever buy into the idea that this place and the inhabitants of this place happened by mere accident. That is foolishness. Psalm 19 and verse 1, the heavens are telling the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. We enjoy this earth, and we look at it in awe and wonder at the mighty, powerful, creative hand of our Father in heaven. It's a beautiful place. It's created for man, for man's enjoyment, for man's benefit, for man's good. God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Never forget that. Because there are going to be fools who are trying to convince you that that statement is not true. But God said it in His Word, and it is true. Psalm 8, 3 through 6. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him to rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. What a beautiful creation we live in, and what a beautiful creation that is subject to man, because God set it up that way. Never forget that God created this beautiful earth. These are the scriptures we looked at. And you have those listed in the family matters for you to consider and take home with you. Our second point, everyone matters to God. Everyone matters to God. We might sometimes think that everyone matters to God who are people that we like and people that we are friends, but everyone matters to God, even those people that you do not like. And there'll be people that you don't like in this world, but they matter to God. And because that is true, we need to treat everyone with respect and honor. As much as lies within us, we need to be at peace with all men. Treat everyone with respect and love, and remember that God loves them. And they need you, since you have a unique knowledge of what God has instructed in His Word, because you have thoughtful enough parents that bring you to Bible classes and teach you the Bible at home and make sure that you're in the worship services. Because that's true in your family, there are people in this world who don't have that blessing. They don't have what you have. And so they need you to help teach them what God has said in His Word. Because His Word will bless their lives too. Each one of us will give an account of himself to God, Romans 14 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he's done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. We need to persuade other people that there's a good way to live and there's a bad way to live. There's a good place for souls to go after this life is over, souls that have lived good. And there's a bad place to go for souls that have lived bad. They need that information. They may not be getting that information at home. You may be the one that is in position in your relationship with them to teach them that, to help them to learn that and help them appreciate that fact. Speak the truth in love, as Ephesians 4 and verse 15 instructs. Love them. Speak the truth because you care about them. You love them. You want them to be blessed by God. Thirdly, humility works in every situation. In every situation of life, be a humble person. It will benefit you greatly in the eyes of men, but it will bring glory and honor to the God that you serve as well. Always treat other people better than you would yourself. That's a hard principle to learn. That's very difficult. But whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 12, when you practice humility just like Jesus did, you will never go wrong in this life with your relationships with other people. It will be blessed for you to be a humble person. Be devoted to one another. Paul wrote the Roman Christians in Romans chapter 12. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. These principles, that's a lot to power pack into two verses, verse 10 and verse 16 of Romans 12. But they're good principles to learn. If you learn those as a young person, you'll carry them over into your adult life. And God will bless you in your relationships with other people, and you'll see the good of it and the value of it, and you'll appreciate that. And at the same time you appreciate that, you'll bring glory to God. You'll honor God by the life that you live. Philippians 2 there are several verses in this chapter that show that humility works in every situation of life. If there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. We'll never be these things We'll never be united in spirit, maintaining the same love and intent on one purpose if we're not humble people. We'll never be able to accomplish that as people on this earth unless we work on attitudes that we should have. We want that encouragement in Christ, that consolation of love, that fellowship of the Spirit. And so we behave in a humble way. He goes on to say, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. It's important for us to learn that as young people. But with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. That's something that you have to work on, isn't it? You don't just automatically regard other people as more important than yourself. You must put forth the effort to do that. That's what Jesus did. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. We all have personal interests. They're all important to us. But know this, young people. Other people have important interests that are important to them, too. Do not become a person that's so wrapped up in your own little world and your own personal interests that you begin to exclude consideration for other people. And you sever relationships with other people. And you don't regard them very highly. If you regard them highly, if you're a humble person, you will end up having a good and righteous effect on them. You'll want what's best for them. You'll end up teaching them the gospel, possibly, by your lifestyle and by your teaching. You have to have that attitude, which was also in Christ. He was a humble person. He emptied himself, Paul goes on to say in this passage. He took on the form of a bondservant, and it cost him his life. He was blessed by God, exalted by God by doing that. Humility is the way to be exalted in the estimation of God in this life. Don't ever forget that. It's very important. Sometimes when you do what is right, somebody will be opposed to you because you do what's right. And they might even be mean to you because you do what's right. You need to know that before it happens so you won't be taken off guard. People will mistreat you for doing what is right. But Jesus Christ said that's the time to rejoice because you've pleased God by doing what's right. In the Sermon on the Mount that Matthew writes about in his Gospel in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Godly, righteous men who stood up for God were persecuted. If you are a godly, righteous person and you stand up for God, you will be persecuted. Be ready for that. There are people in this world that will be mean to you and treat you very ugly. If you need refuge, go to the people of God. Go to people who love and serve God. They will encourage you. They will lift you up. They will give you strength. That's important for us to remember. If the world hates you, Jesus said, know that it hated me first. It hated me first. If you were of the world would love its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. If you're chosen to be out of the world by Christ and you follow His lead, and you're walking in His steps, you will leave the association of this world. You will leave the love of the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You'll walk away from that, and the world won't like it. Because it's a condemnation of that type of lifestyle. And they'll hate you. And they'll persecute you. But remember, Jesus walked that way. And we want to walk the same way that He walked, don't we? Another important point that is very helpful is to learn to have a forgiving heart. This is very important, young people, to learn this early in life. If you don't learn it early in life, you will likely be a person who carries grudges with you all of your life. And that grudge will eat you up from the inside out. It will make you a bitter person. It will make things in life so difficult for you and so hated by you that you will never come to know the peace and the joy that God wants you to have in this life. Learn to have a forgiving heart. Everyone needs forgiveness. When your heart is full of forgiveness, you also will be forgiven of God. You will have the peace that comes with forgiveness. Jesus said, if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Luke wrote in his gospel the all-important principle in chapter 17, verses 3 and 4, and he even prefaces this all-important principle by saying, be on guard. Be on guard, an expression which immediately sends to the reader the importance of taking note. There's about to be a warning here that's very important. Take note of it. It's something that's helpful. It's something that's serious. Be on guard, Luke said. If your brother sins, in quoting Jesus, he said this, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Cultivate that forgiving spirit because everybody in life needs it, including you. Including you. Don't ever forget that. Another point. If you don't value your moral convictions in your life, nobody else will. If they don't see that you value something more than what this life has to offer, that there are places that you will not go, there are words that you will not say, there are people that you will not hang around because you are a person of moral principle. If they don't see that in you, they'll not respect you as a godly person. They'll not have that example before them to learn from. And if you don't let those convictions be known, they'll never know. That's the important thing about standing for your convictions. That other people will see what's inside of you. There'll be some adverse reaction to that, but there'll be some good reaction too. People who know you all through grammar school, all through junior high, all through high school, and see your moral convictions, it may be many years later when you meet them on the street or your paths cross again, when they have come to the proper sense about themselves and they've reached the level of maturity, they'll say something to you like, you know, I respected you. I didn't ever tell you that. But I respected your convictions and I respected your beliefs and I respected the fact that you were striving to serve God. And I want you to know that I noticed it and I appreciate it. That's how people will react to that. But if you don't value your own moral convictions, nobody else is going to do it either. Treat spiritual things with reverence and respect. Show other people that faith in God is important to you. It can't be something that's faddish. It must be important to you. It must mean something to you. Stand up for what you believe. What you believe. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, Matthew 6, beginning in verse 19. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break through and steal. Because, Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart's going to be there also. Paul told us to do it in this way. He made an illustration for us in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, put on the whole armor of God. Like a fighting man who gets ready to go out and do battle. In order to protect his body from fiery darts that are coming his way. From sword and spear. In order to give him some measure of protection against the assault from the enemy, he must put on armor. He must put on some form of protection. God tells us to do that. And the reason, put on this full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. What are we fighting against when we put on this armor of God? We're fighting against not flesh and blood. We don't go out and do battle with our neighbors in hand-to-hand combat over spiritual things. We're fighting the schemes of the devil. Well, what does that have to do with other people? Other people listen to the schemes of the devil. Other people live by the schemes of the devil. And the devil wants them to influence you and wants you to live by his schemes as well. That's what we fight, the schemes of the devil. How do we do it? We stand firm against it. We don't compromise with the schemes of the devil and expect to be victorious. We don't live like the devil and expect to be victorious. We stand firm against it, Paul said in verse 11 of Ephesians 6. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We don't struggle against flesh and blood in verse 12, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you will be able to resist in the evil day. You know, there are good things that come to people who resist the schemes of the devil. Paul gives that admonition here, resist. And having done everything, here's that expression again, stand firm. Stand firm. Be strong. Stand up. Be courageous. Be a mountain. Be a rock. Stand firm. And then in verse 14, he mentions that expression the third time in this passage. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which will enable you to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, the schemes of the devil. The devil who throws those flaming arrows of temptation at you, you'll be able to put those out like a fire extinguisher extinguishes a flame. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray for yourself in the struggle, in the fight, and also for all your brethren. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's how we do that. We have to have those convictions, and other people have to see those convictions in us. Be thankful at all times. Ephesians 5 and verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Be a thankful person, not only just a forgiving person, not only just a humble person and a person of moral conviction. Be a thankful person. Don't wait till Thanksgiving to be a thankful person. Be a thankful person every day of your life. Those moments where it's difficult to be thankful are moments when you can grow the most. Always find a way to express your thankfulness. Be thankful for your parents, for the good home that you enjoy, the blessings that they provide for you, their leadership and instruction they give you in the way of the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This is how you let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts in Colossians 3 and verse 15, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. So very important. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God, he says in verse 16. And 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants us to be thankful people. So we should be, if for no other reason. Learn to give whether you get anything in return or not. We're cultivating people in our society who will not give anything to anyone unless they expect something in return. That is not the way to live in the sight of God. The way to be godlike, the way to be Christ-like, is to give to other people without any concern of ever getting it back. To cultivate that kind of attitude. When you give cheerfully and sacrificially yourself, we're not just talking about your money, but your time and your energy as well. Then your life will be greatly blessed. Remember this. In Acts 20 and verse 35, words of Christ are quoted in that passage. In everything I showed you, by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that He Himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those are the words of Christ for our admonition, quoted again in the book of Acts. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you, through His poverty, might become rich. Learn to be a giving person. Give of yourself to other people. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did, and we must follow His example. Guard your words carefully. This is another important point that we really need to learn. Young people, think about it. Your words can hurt someone for the rest of their lives. Your words can be very cruel to other people who are sensitive to what you say. Even though it may be some off-the-cuff remark that you make or some thoughtless set of words that you speak that you may not even really mean. But someone else may take those words very seriously and it may hurt them deeply. And they may carry that hurt with them for much of their lives. Be careful about the words that you say. That is why James admonishes in James chapter 3 to not become, not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that you will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are great and driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? The tongue is a fire. And the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Words can be damaging. They can be hurtful. They can lead to eternal ruin. We must be careful. We must be careful that we do not bless God with our lips and at the same time curse Him. He goes on to say, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom and guard his tongue. It's a very important principle to learn. Always find something that is positive and encouraging to say to other people. Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Be careful about, that's Ephesians 4 and verse 29, be careful about grumbling and complaining about things too. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord, and when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some on the outskirts of the camp. The people therefore cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. The rabble who were among them had greedy desires. And also the sons of Israel wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? Remember, this complaining is not good, and God hears it. And he doesn't like it. His anger is kindled, even as in the days of Moses. Do all things without grumbling and disputing in Philippians 2 and verse 14. If that's your habit and you see yourself getting into that habit as a young person, try to fix that. Try to correct that. And don't complain about things. Guard your words very carefully. It's very important. It'll bless you in this life to not say everything that you know. You don't have to be an open book so that other people can read your every thought and everything you hear. Guard your words carefully. It's important to learn that. And then finally, you are on this earth to glorify God. Obey Him above all else. That's why you're here. But you are blessed that you have a choice in life. You can serve God or you cannot. It's entirely up to you. It's entirely your choice. But when all is heard, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether good or evil. The wisest man who ever lived said that, wrote that in Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. John in his gospel wrote, "But as many as received Him," that is Christ, "to them gave He the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." They were born of God. You'll never go wrong following Jesus Christ in His Word. You never will. It's a reliable Word. It's a reliable guide for anyone in this life. It will lead you to the greatest of all places. It will lead you to the eternal kingdom of God. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me, John wrote in his gospel in chapter 14. "In My Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. So I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." Christ showed us the way, didn't He? He taught us the way. He made clear. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." We know the way to get there. We have to obey God to do it. We have to be what God wants us to be in this life, to glorify Him and do everything that He says to the best of our ability. And God will take care of us. He'll watch over us. He'll protect us, keep us from harm. He'll take us to Him when this short life is over. Some principles that I hope will bless your life if you think about them. Strive to do them. Strive to please God in every way. God will bless you. Our God is a great God of blessings. He'll bless you even today. If we can help you in any way to walk closer to God than you were walking when you came into this building, we will do it. If you're not a Christian, we ask you to do nothing more and nothing less than what God says in His Word that you must do to become a Christian. To believe in Him with all of your heart. To confess Him before men. To repent of sins. To be baptized in water for the remission of sins. Raised up to walk in newness of life as a Christian. We can help you with that today. You can be a part of this family of God's people here. We can help you walk closer to God. If you've done this in times past and you're a Christian and you've fallen away, you've not been as faithful as you could be, we can fix that. If you'll repent of that and seek God's forgiveness, we'll pray with you, we'll pray for you, that you may leave this place walking hand in hand with God. There's no greater ally to have in this world than God on your side. Can we help you? If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.